Now, as we get into the word, and what a word it is, emor. Emor means speak. It comes from Leviticus 21:1, and as we said, our Torah portion goes from 21:1 to 24:23. The Haftorah being Ezekiel 44:15 to 44:31. Now, did you notice something when I read from the Torah? It started off with, and the Lord said to Moses. And the Lord said to Moses. And many of the past parshas started off the same way. It's very repetitive. Because the Lord speaking is the start of our holiness. It has to start that way. Now in Leviticus, there are 10 portions in the book of Leviticus. Of those 10 portions, one of them starts with the Lord called to. One of them starts with the Lord said to. And 6 of them starts with the Lord spoke to. That means 8 of the 10 portions in Leviticus starts with Adonai saying something to someone. Because when God speaks, he knows his words have meaning and effect. God's word created the world. He spoke it, and it just was. That's how he created. God spoke to Adam and Eve. Then God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Isaac. God spoke to Jacob. God spoke to Joseph. God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Joshua. God spoke to Samuel. God spoke to David. Then God spoke to Solomon. God spoke to the prophets and writers of Scripture. Then God spoke to the apostles through Yeshua, who is God. And God speaks to us today through his Ruach HaKodesh directly to us. God spoke then, and God speaks now. He has never been silent, with maybe the exception of the 400 years between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But I'll bet you there were still minor prophets going around proclaiming holiness and their need. Just because it wasn't recorded doesn't mean it wasn't. But I'm sure he still had his remnant then, just as he still has his remnant now. God calls, and our time together should be precious with him. We should be able to carve out time to speak to God. And even more importantly, we should be able to carve out time for God to speak with us. Because they're two different things. You can't be speaking and listening at the same time. So when we go to God, if all we're doing is yabba, 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 you may be yabba, yabbing a lot of good stuff, but you're not giving him an opportunity to yabber back. Not that he yabbers. He speaks, and he says what he means, and he means what he says. So, and the Lord said, 219 times in Scripture, in the Old Covenant, are the words the Lord said. And the Lord called another 9 times in the Old Covenant. That makes 228 times in the Old Covenant that the Lord spoke directly. And in the New Covenant, he didn't stop. In the New Covenant, it says, Yeshua says, 65 times. And imagine that, because that's really just the Gospels that Yeshua said. 65 times. And 7 times, Scripture says, Yeshua called. 72 times in the New Covenant, Yeshua said or called to people and us. That means in all of Scripture, 300 times, when you add them all together, 300 times in Scripture, God said or called. He's in the communication business. He didn't just set us up and leave us alone. He says, he calls, he speaks to us. 300. I had to do a little Googling, because 300 sounded like a very round number. It's not like I fixed these numbers. I did Googling to how many times did the Lord say, quote, to make sure that they were all grouped together, not the Lord said, they were in words together. These are the words the Lord said. 300. And then I had to figure out, what does 300 mean? And 300 means divine deliverance. And an example was Gideon's men. When he was going forth, he had this big army. He whittled them down. God brought them to a river, said to have the men drink out of the river. If they drink this way, you take them. If they drink that way, you don't. And how many men did Gideon finish up with? 300. 300 men to have divine deliverance through God. Because God said. We're seeing a connection there. And God still speaks to us today. And we're going to get to our first scripture in Hebrews. God speaks to us, and the writer of Hebrews was telling them then as he's telling us now. Let's look at Hebrews 1:1 through 2. At many times, in many ways, God spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets. In these last days, he had spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir to all things and through whom he created the universe. Many times, many ways, God speaks. The writer was telling us he spoke then, and he was speaking now. And he says in those last days, where are we now? We are in the last days. I would love to be able to say, well, I know we're in the last days because on this date, that's it. But that's not the way God works. He told us we're not to know the date, but to know we're in the season. And you look out into the world, and we are definitely within the season. We see all the rumors of wars and known wars. We see earthquakes. We see famines. We see floods. We know we're in the last days. God is still speaking in these last days. So, if God is still speaking, why should we listen? It seems like a silly question. If God speaks, why listen? Well, because he knows. He's God. He knows. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12 and take a look at this scripture. Because God knows. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing right through to the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intents of hearts. He knows. He is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You may think you know what's in your heart. He absolutely knows. You may think you know what's best for you. He absolutely knows. So why do we listen to God? Because he knows. Why do we listen to God? Because he speaks. Because he's speaking to us directly. Isaiah 55:10-11. For as the rain and snow comes down from heaven and do not return there without having watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to sow and bread to eat, so my word will be that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me in vain, but will accomplish what I intended and will succeed in what I sent it for. It will succeed. God speaks, and just like the waters of the rain and snow waters the earth so that things grow, so he speaks to us so that we may grow. And it will not, his word will not return in vain. If you turn your ear to him and listen, you will grow, just as the earth does, just as it sprouts its seed, so that there is sowing. So why do we listen to God? Because he wants to save. He loves us. He loves his creation, and he wants to save his creation. Job 33, 14 through 18. We look at it, and it tells us his intent. His intent. Indeed, God speaks once, even twice, yet no one perceives it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, as they slumber in bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals his instructions, in order to turn a man from his conduct and to cover a person's pride. He spares his soul from the pit and his life from perishing from the sword. Boy, he speaks once, he speaks twice, and you're still not listening. But God has a plan of salvation. Even if he has to wait until you fall asleep so that you stop yabbering, because you're not going to yabber in your sleep, even if it's when you fall asleep so that you're not yabbering anymore, he'll speak to you in a dream and a vision in order to get you there. How do I know this is true? Because this verse right here is how I came to salvation. He spoke once, and even twice. I went to a Messianic synagogue. I went to their picnics. And I said, that's great for all you guys, but not for me. Couple of weeks later, it wasn't even right away, I wasn't even thinking about it, wasn't on my mind at all, wasn't on the radar, I'm telling you. And in my sleep, he spoke directly to me. I woke up, and like a light switch was turned, never doubted after that. He will pursue. He will save, because that is his business. Healing and saving, that's God. So when should we turn our ear to God? When should we listen? They all seem like silly questions, but let's nail them down. When we have a question of what to do, don't lean on your own understanding and your own wisdom. Look at what happened in Leviticus 24. When there was a question of what to do, someone went out and they were caught cursing God. They said, what do we do? Leviticus 24, verses 12 and 13. They put him in custody until the will of Adonai could be declared to them. Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, they said, wait. Let's just wait on the Lord. Approach the Lord, because you know, between that time, they said, hey, Moses, this guy's cursing God. What are we going to do? And Moses said, wait. put him in custody. Wait, I'll go to God and he'll tell us what to do. He approached Adonai, and Adonai said, told him what to do. In this case, it was stone him. But they waited to hear on the Lord to make sure they weren't doing what they wanted to do, but to do what God wanted them to do with the situation. That's what we need to do. When we have a question of what to do, we wait. We approach. We ask, we seek, we knock. There are times you want to say, I know the answer to that one. But do you? Do you know God's answer to that one? Wait, we seek, we knock. When do we listen to God? When we want the blessing of God. Genesis 26, 4 and 5 gives us this one. I will multiply your seed like the stars of the sky, and I will give your seed all these lands. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth will continually be blessed. Because Abraham listened to my voice and kept my charge, my mitzvot, my decrees, and my instructions. Because Abraham listened to my voice, God spoke, Abraham listened, and then he acted. That's the blessing from God. That's how we obtain the blessings from God. Basically, when should we listen for God? All the time. All the time. You know, people say, I've heard naysayers say, well, what do? You stop at a stoplight and do you wait until God says to go? No, but God told me to obey the civil laws. I listen to God. Don't let people bring silly answers to try to stumble you. Stand on the word of God and bat away those naysayers who just want to try to make fun and be flippant. They're just a waste of time most of the time. Don't let them get you off track arguing about silly things. How does God speak to us? Well, there are multiple ways, right? Earlier we read that many ways and many times God spoke. And he's still speaking in many ways and in many times. Jonah. He spoke through Jonah's circumstances first. Jonah decided to, you know, God spoke to Jonah directly first. But Jonah decided he didn't like that. He didn't like what he heard. He was not going to Nineveh. He was not going to have any of that. So he ran the exact opposite way. Got on a ship. The ships went into a storm. It was a circumstance. Jonah knew what was going on. It didn't say in Scripture, Jonah learned from God directly that the storm was his fault and he should be thrown overboard. No, Jonah knew from the circumstances he was in what was going on. And I'll tell you what, if he didn't know it then, he certainly knew it by the time he got into the belly of the fish. Laying in that belly of the fish was quite the circumstance. But he knew from those circumstances that he did wrong. And he repented because God spoke through the circumstance that he was in. He'll speak to us through circumstances as well. Wise counsel and people wise and godly. He'll speak to us through other people. 1 Samuel 9:15 is an example of this, where Samuel spoke to Saul. It's before Saul was made king, before he had an opportunity to sin, before he had the opportunity to turn away from God. But Samuel was sent by God to talk to Saul so that he could communicate through Samuel to Saul. Let's look at 1 Samuel 9, 15, and 16. One day before Saul came, Adonai had revealed to Samuel, saying, "Tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you will anoint him ruler over my people Israel. He will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines." Well, the message went through Samuel, but the message was for Saul. So how did Saul hear from God? Through a godly man named Samuel. So sometimes God will just send somebody into your path. Someone you know, maybe someone you don't know. In this case, it was someone Saul didn't know. But I'm sure Saul knew that Samuel was a godly man and trusted that it was a word from God. Sometimes it's someone you know, such as Nathan to Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, when David's other son, wanted to take over as king while David was still alive, even though he knew Solomon was really the one who was supposed to be anointed. He didn't want that. Excuse me. So what did God do? He sent the prophet Nathan to Bathsheba. 1 Kings 1:11 and 12. But Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, saying, "Haven't you heard that Adonijah, son of Haggith, has assumed the kingship, and our Lord David doesn't know it? Now come, please, let me give you advice. Save your own life and the life of your son Solomon." Again, a godly person sent into the path of someone who needed to be saved. In this case, I'm sure that Bathsheba knew Nathan because he was part of the court. He was part of David's court. So it was someone who's been around. She knew, she trusted. He came with a word from God. She took that word from God. And she saved not only her own life, not only did she save Solomon's life, I think she saved the kingdom for God. So God places wise people in our path. Sometimes it's a one-time encounter. Sometimes it'll be a relationship that you have with them, either before or after, but it's a long-term relationship. Could be either way. Romans 10:14 through 17. How then shall they call on the one in whom they have trusted? And how shall they trust in the one they have not heard of? And how shall they hear without someone proclaiming? And how shall they proclaim good news, the news of good things? But not all heeded the good news. For Isaiah says, "Adonai, who has believed our report?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Messiah. Faith comes from hearing, and sometimes you're hearing it not directly from God, but you're hearing it through a trusted, godly person. Excuse me. Now, I'm not saying just jump on board with everybody who comes to you and says, "Hey, I'm godly and I've got a word for you." Most of us have been in that position where someone's come to us and says, I've got a word for you. So what do you do? Most of the time, the thing to do is say, well, thank you very much. I'm going to take it under advisement and I'll pray about it. And you'll get confirmation if it truly is from God. You check Scripture. Does it line up with Scripture? You'll know if it truly comes from God. I've heard things, people have said things to me that, yes, eventually they lined up with God and they occurred. And I've heard things, yeah, you know, thank you very much. I'll keep that in mind and push it out as quickly as I got it. But that's what you need to do. Be a Berean. Research it. Look into Scripture and find out, does it line up? Look for your confirmations. Does it look that way? He comes in dreams and visions. He speaks to us in dreams and visions, as we spoke about a little bit earlier before. But we've seen it multiple times in Scripture. Peter has the vision of the sheet coming down. A direct word from God. Paul on the road of Damascus. He has an encounter in a vision. You know, I don't even know if that was a vision that really happened. Everyone else kind of saw a light. He heard the word of God. I don't know if you want to categorize it as a vision, you want to categorize it as an encounter. I don't know. I know it happened. And I know he got the word of God through it. He will bring people into your path. Joseph, multiple times he told his family, because of a dream he had, that he would rule over them. Now that's another lesson to learn. Sometimes these things don't go well when you first get it, when you tell it to other people. Hey, Dad, you're going to be, you're going to be under me because I'm going to be way up there. And all these brothers, they'll be bowing down to me. Well, it didn't go well. It did go by God's path. I'm not so sure I would have shared those dreams. And maybe it had to be. I don't know. He will speak to you directly if you're open to him. If you're open to God, God is open to you. Genesis 32:24. Jacob was on his way back to his brothers. And we know the story. He slept. He put a rock under his head. He was sleeping. So Jacob remained all by himself. Then a man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. And we know that this man was God himself. Some call him an angel of God. Whatever you want to say. But it was God. Jacob wrestled with God. Jacob got a word directly from God. Now I say, God, I like my hips just the way they are, but I want to hear from you. I don't want to wrestle with you because I know you're superior to me, but I want a word directly from you. And then he'll speak. Will it be an audible voice? Hey, I've heard people say they've heard things. And if it works out, it works out. But I also know that God has spoken to me through the Ruach HaKodesh and moved me in ways. So I know. Elijah is another example of God speaking directly to a prophet. 1 Kings 19:9. Then he arrived there at the cave. He spent the night there. Remember, he was running from Jezebel. He spent the night there, And behold, the word of Adonai came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? The word came to him. Prophets hear from God. The people of God also can hear from God. It is not just for the prophets. You are a priest of the Lord. And when you open yourself to Him, He will speak to you. Again, audible voice, maybe. I'm not going to say no. Movement, just trying to push you around so that you're on back on your right path, taking his shepherd's staff and pushing a little this way, pushing a little that way to make sure that you're on the right path, possibly. But he will speak to you when you open yourself up to him. How else does he speak to us? Supernatural manifestations. You know, a lot of people say, supernatural? Well, let me tell you, there's nothing natural about God. He is supernatural. So I am open to supernatural manifestations. And we see it in Scripture. Exodus 3:4. When Adonai saw that he turned to look, this is talking about Moses in the desert with his sheep. He turns and he sees a burning bush. When Adonai saw that he turned to look, he called out to him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. So he answered, Hineni, here I am. From the burning bush that was never consumed. I'm telling you, if I see a bush that doesn't get consumed by a flame, I call that supernatural. How about the fleece for Gideon in Judges 6:36-38? Then Gideon said to God, he's already in this conversation. This is kind of one of those things with me. I go, I don't know if I want to test God, but I guess I've used the fleece every once in a while, just so I try to understand better. Gideon said to God, if you're going to deliver Israel by my hand, as you have spoken, see, I'm putting a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there's dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will deliver Israel by my hand, as you have spoken. And it was so. When he rose up early the next day, he squeezed the fleece and wrung dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. That's pretty supernatural. The ground was dry, the fleece was wet. Seems like I would take that as a pretty definitive answer to me. But Gideon decides to test them a second time just to make sure. Maybe it's the fleece that caused this to happen and reversed it so that the fleece was dry the next day and all around it was dew, covered in dew. God doesn't mind us asking questions and having doubts. He just wants us to understand and move in His way. He's big enough to answer the questions you have. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. He knows them in your heart before you've asked them, so it's not like you're going to surprise them. And the last manifestation that seems pretty obvious to me is Balaam's donkey. I don't think donkeys spoke even back then. So Balaam thought it was pretty normal, I guess, Because the first thing he didn't see, the first thing I would have said was, "Holy cow, it's a talking donkey." But he didn't. But he did recognize it as a supernatural manifestation of God once it was explained to him. And then there was always the angel right afterwards if the donkey didn't do it for him, which is another supernatural manifestation. So Balaam, he got two. And finally, peace, shalom. That inner shalom that you get when you know that you're on the right path of God. I start down this way, it doesn't feel right, so I turn back over here. Ah, this was God's path all the time. Now I know, because of the shalom for me and my household, this is the path. Psalm 29:11. Adonai gives strength to his people. Adonai blesses his people with shalom. When he blesses you and you accept that blessing and direction, he will give you that shalom. Matthew 11:28-30. Yeshua himself says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I will give you rest. You will have my peace. Shalom will come over you and your household. God is speaking. God spoke in the past. God speaks to us now, and I'll guarantee you, God will continue to speak through his Ruach HaKodesh and more until the end of time, when we're standing before him face to face, and he will not be silent then. And I'll guarantee we will not be silent then, because we will be praising and glorifying him in his presence. God wants to talk to us, and he wants us to listen, because he knows what's best for us. He said, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper and not harm." But we don't always want to listen, and it's always, always for our own detriment. If we're not in his path, not walking the path directly towards him, it's always going to be for our detriment. We will not be blessed if we do not listen. Listen to the warning that Jeremiah gives in chapter 7. "For it was then true, and it's true now." Jeremiah 7:13. "While you were doing all these things," declared Adonai, "I spoke to you early and often, but you did not listen, and I called to you, but you did not answer." This was just before the fall, speaking about it. "Listen, I've talked to you over and over and over. I've given you instruction. I've given you warning. You wouldn't listen. You didn't answer." He's calling for us to Shema Israel. Listen. But Shema is more than just listen. It's listen and do. He calls us. I got to tell you, it is my favorite piece of liturgy that I turn into my favorite prayer. As I wake up, I say, "Shema Eliezer, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, because Eliezer is my Hebrew name. So I've taken on to calling, I don't call myself Eliezer, but for this prayer, Shema Eliezer, Shema Larry, God is one. God is, the Lord is God, the God is one. And blessed the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. I say it when I wake up and I say it to sleep because I want to remind myself every morning and every night who God is and who I am in God. And what I'm called to do in God. I am called to listen and I'm called to do. You are called to listen and you are called to do. My final scripture reminds us that who we are and who he is as well. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep know my voice. That means he is the good shepherd. We are his sheep. And what do? We follow him. The shepherd calls out. The sheep do not exert control over him. The shepherd calls out so that he can better protect and care for them. And that is part of what the Lord is here to do for us as well. He protects us currently, and he cares for us. His desire is always to keep us safe, physically, but mostly and most importantly, spiritually. I understand that there's going to be pain now. But I know through his promises, when he comes again, or when he takes me, all that pain will be gone. All that pain will be forgotten. So I can live through the pain now, and the discomfort now. But he is my sheep, and he is my shepherd, and I will follow after him. And the good news is, he's not a hired shepherd. Because a hired shepherd is not going to fight the bear. He is the owner of us and the sheep. And when that bear comes, he will fight. And he will have victory. Because bears look scary, but I know the Lord is stronger and mightier than anything that will come against us. We have that shepherd in Messiah Yeshua. He wants to care and protect for us, and he will if we follow his voice. He speaks to us today just as he did from the time he created the world. We need to listen for his voice, and we need to trust in his ways in all times. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that your voice is never silenced. We thank you that even when we're stubborn, you will find ways to get to us. Father, open our eyes so that we may see all the ways that you speak to us. Open our ears so we may hear every word that you speak to us. And then open our hands so that we may do everything you tell us to do. Father, may our feet always be on your path. And when we wander off, we ask that you be gentle and use your staff to guide us back onto your path. We trust in you, for you are our shepherd. We trust in you because you are our creator. We are yours, and we bow humbly before you. In acknowledgement of your greatness, for you are a great God, as we sung in our praise time. So we just thank you.